All right, troops. Hello and welcome to That Mental Ginger Show with your host, Andrew Durning, aka The Mental Ginger. Well, my three faithful followers, the first two episodes have taken us international, so we decided to bring it close to home for the third one and go to London, England. And we've also got our first female guest of the new format. Well, let's not say that we're woke or anything, you know. It is the lovely Talia, well, as beautiful a person as she is an accordion player. Thank you so much for coming on, Talia.
You're welcome. It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. And I'm so happy that you got to see my show the other day.
Yes. For the uninitiated, as many of you know, I've been working kind of in partnership with Top Talent Promotions and Mob Radio. They put on a live Zoom gig every Sunday, and Talia graced us with her natural stage presence and her beautiful accordion and her singing skills. She was absolutely fantastic. Very well done again, Talia.
Thank you. Thank you so much for the compliment. Well, yeah.
I only give credit where credit's due. Well, if you were, well, quite frankly, if you were shit, I would tell you.
Oh, that makes me feel really good.
It's, well, with me, what you see is what you get. I've had enough people tell me that I'm rubbish. It's, well, it's very rare to find someone so honest in the industry these days, isn't it?
Totally. Well done, you. Mm-hmm. And I'm really grateful to have someone like you, actually, you know, giving me back this feedback, because, yeah, in times like this, it's always great to have, you know, people say honest things about you and not just, like, sugarcoat people, you know. Oh yeah, that's lovely when you're not. And
One thing you'll learn about me, Talia, as we go on, I'm about as subtle as a brick to the face.
It's definitely someone like a bit like you that was really dead honest, that made me actually really fight for what I'm doing.
Well, that's great. So that leads us into our first question, I guess, because every guest that comes on, I like to find out about their origin story, because everybody's got an origins. So the lovely Talia, please enlighten us with your origin story.
So my origin story was that basically I was in my first year of singing. So I've been singing 4 years now, but the first year of singing, I was playing in a restaurant in Bournemouth. We used to go once a month, me and a guitarist. And one night, this guy, I actually think he deals with the wine, but that's irrelevant now. But he basically gives wine and does business with the restaurant, like sells his wines. Anyway, apparently he goes to a lot of different restaurants, heard a lot of different singers, and he came up to me and he said, I've heard you sing. I know there are much better singers than you out there. I don't think you can sing. You know, and it almost felt like, it's not that I couldn't sing, but that my voice wasn't strong enough. Mm-hmm. And that's almost how I interpreted it, because I knew for sure that I was singing always in tune. On the whole, I was singing in tune because of my accordion. I started playing accordion since I was seven. I've had like my dad play like it's called the concertina since I was a baby, and singing to me. So I'm definitely like, I'm not tone deaf, and I knew that I could sing in melody, I could sing in tune. But it was just like, I knew that a bit of what he was saying was right. I had just started singing, you know, and of course my voice would not be like showing confidence. It wasn't like grand. I don't think I kind of have, I would say I was always like a choir girl kind of singer, you know, just like melting in with everyone else, which was beautiful, and that stuff that I like. And for example, I'm in a band at the moment as well as a backing vocalist, so that requires that I just step back and just blend in with the band. So I'm always aware of stuff like that. But anyway, going back to what this guy said, I was just like, I'm going to take that and like turn it into a positive? Obviously knowing that, you know, I have already the musicality inside of me, I'm just going to carry on. I know this is going to be a case of me making my voice stronger, and I will only get my voice, you know, have my voice get stronger if I practice every day. And I knew that that would come with time. So 4 years on, here I am. And like people are saying really beautiful things, you know, like yourself.
Yes, well, it's where credit's due. And that's a very, it's very strong of you to take something like that and go, okay, I'm going to work on it and I'm going to get better, rather than what a lot of people would do is kind of go the other way and maybe kind of retreat into themselves and become a bit more introverted. So good on you taking the right positive mental attitude towards the feedback. So you mentioned that you played the accordion and that your dad played the concertina. So was it directly your dad's influence that made you choose the accordion? Because it's quite an interesting instrument. Well, most of the time in Scotland, the only time we see it is if there's a Peruvian flute band or someone begging for change. But not in your case. Like obviously, it's made more elegant, more graceful. So what made you choose the accordion?
I didn't actually choose it, I don't think. It was literally, like you said, it was my dad. Because, I mean, he came from a, you know, Portuguese background back in Portugal. Mm. He had learnt by ear. You can imagine, really stuff that you do in the countryside, like pick the olives and then go and make olive oil. And while they're waiting for the whole process of the olive oil, you know, to produce the olive oil, and mm-hmm. there's this whole time that they're just basically they don't do anything, so the people are singing and dancing. And that was one of my dad's thing, was to pick up a little concertina and learn. And he was always willing, you know, you have a will to learn the instrument. No matter how many mistakes he was making, he was just like, I need to play that song, I want to do it. And so he'd get like little you know, like tips from people, older men that were like already playing, and he'd say, excuse me, how do you do that? And then like they tell him, and then he'd just go, okay, learn a bit here and a bit there. And then he just used to go do his own tune. Definitely my dad's influence. So then I guess my mum and my dad, they got married here. They met in London. So it wasn't in Portugal, it was actually here. And funnily enough, they're only about an hour's drive in Portugal, and they never knew each other. So
that's brilliant.
That's really cool. I know, right?
It's like one of those things that you'd expect to make into a movie.
That's another idea.
So whereabouts in Portugal, where are your parents from?
They're from the north.
Oh, nice.
That's green and beautiful.
So obviously you came over, did they come over to be with your mum, I take it?
Who?
Like your dad, did he come over from Portugal to be with your mum, or was it the other way around, or did they?
No. So my mum came over when she was 13, so she was quite young herself. Yeah. So they didn't know each other from Portugal. They literally met, they were both working in a restaurant in London. And they met, and then they fancied each other, obviously, and then and then they went to Portugal for some holidays. But they met here.
Fantastic.
They got married and whatever, and at 7 years old, my dad took me to an accordion shop. And it's an Italian accordion shop. So we were like in South London, and he would drive me to North London. And he was like, well, do you want to pick an accordion? And I was like, in this shop full of accordions. And I was like, well, my dad's always plays this squeeze box. Like for me, that was normal. And I was like, yeah, I love singing. Like I've literally had to ask I've literally had to ask myself that question. Like there was a breaking point for me. It was more like, am I doing this because I'm trying to please my dad? Or am I doing this because I actually have my passion? You know, it's mine and I own it. And I worked out that I already loved singing, because my brother, for example, every time my dad would sing or something or play the accordion, he'd run a mile. And me, I was always next to my dad and I was going, yeah, la, 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 la. like singing all the time.
Mm.
So I know that there was already a passion around music. And then we used to have a big family, and my dad used to sing or play. And we always, and then once I started playing accordion, I would also perform for the family, and everyone's dancing and singing, you know, mm. a bit like Irish and Scottish. It was just like so beautiful. And I love that. I got a real buzz out of that, out of seeing people so happy. I think that was the seeing so much joy. Like, how can normal life make you so, like, everyone's just like, oh, this is so rubbish. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
But do you know what I mean? Just no music in your life. You're just like, what are we going to talk about, you know? And as soon as I saw my family just, yeah, dancing and singing, it just made me so happy. And I think that's what I've done. So in that moment, going back to when my dad took me to the shop, I think it was like, I don't think I even had a second to kind of think. I was just like, yes, like, do you want to play the accordion? And I was like, yes. I didn't think anymore. Yeah, it was beautiful, you know.
You just did.
Yeah, I just did. And then that's what I did. I used to go every Saturday for 10 years to learn accordion by an amazing teacher who I love the way that you said elegant, and you said something else, didn't you, about the way that I play?
Graceful. Yeah. It's very graceful, the way that you play. Like, it's just, it almost doesn't have like a, doesn't feel like there's any effort being put in. It's like you said, you've picked it up from when you were young, and it's just, it's essentially like you have like a third arm. It's just part of you. It's part of you. It's who you are. And it's just as easy as like any other part of your body. That sounds so wrong. I apologize. Oh my goodness. My third episode and I'm cancelled. Sorry, Tali. It's been absolutely lovely before the cancel culture gets me. So tell us about some of your experiences in the entertainment industry, and please save my blushes.
Entertainment industry, I have I was very lucky at such a young age. I'd say it was a young age, because as soon as I went into secondary school, like at 12 years old, I got asked to, I don't know which one came first, to be fair, but it was the Royal Shakespeare Company.
Wow.
I think it was the theatre. Yeah, so I performed in Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah, it was amazing at the Barbican. And
yeah.
I say it's amazing because there are, you know, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, there's a lot of like tricks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they drink and then they become like the other person, the other man. So there's a beautiful scene in it where the guy's on, I think it was Dr. Jekyll was reading a paper. So he's reading the paper and it's making noise, you know, as if he's on a train. And when he puts the paper down, it's then Mr. Hyde. And I always wondered, how the hell do they do that?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to tell you how they did it.
So it's like magicians, don't ruin the illusion.
Yeah. I couldn't tell. So it's Mr. Jekyll. Yeah, Dr. Jekyll, right, like that.
Yeah.
So you see, he's like reading a paper and then puts it down and it's Mr. Hyde. Oh, and then there were some other things as well. Like they had like this desk, as if it was their office, like where they were doing all the chemical stuff, and then like it'd be Dr. Jekyll and he'd like fall on the floor because obviously what he's drunk has made him go like crazy. And then all of a sudden Mr. Hyde gets up, so that Dr. Jekyll is Mr. Hyde, things like that. It was just pretty amazing for a kid to watch that. And then I got asked also to play for television, which was really nerve-wracking, and I don't think I like TV.
Wow. What did you play?
It's called, do you remember the Roundabout? I don't know if you're.
Yes.
Roundabout. Yeah. Mr. Jolly and stuff like that. I performed a tango. I was actually a character. I was called Maria.
Wow.
My brother, that they said it was Paul Morocco, who actually I think his name is Paul Morocco. In real life, and he does this, like, I've looked him up lately, and he does this amazing thing in a trio where they do all this fun stuff with guitars, and I wish I could find it, but he's really, really good. And so he used to do a lot of juggling, as well as like unicycle. So it almost felt like being a bit in a circus when I was at the BBC. It was actually a circus.
I think that's probably one of the most accurate descriptions of the BBC I've ever heard.
And it was really fun because we had to learn some songs. And he was like, oh, I love la fruta. And he's juggling some fruit, yeah? And mm-hmm. So this song, I can't believe I'm singing it. Oh, I love la fruta. There's no substituta. I said, there's no substituta for lemon or orange, my ayayayan. And then he goes, oh, mango, my ayayayango, you make this mango so crazy for you. Yeah, wow. And you know that I know that we all know fruit is so good for you.
Oh, I could listen to you sing all night, Talia. You're absolutely beautiful. Well, absolutely. It's lovely. It's so lovely. So what would you say is probably one of your biggest musical performances that you've done?
Like biggest? I mean, you mean...
Either the biggest or the most important. Well, or both.
Hmm. Yeah. Because I find it quite interesting when you say biggest, because obviously I've never played it, like, you know, I have collaborated with artists like in Glastonbury for on a smaller stage and things like that, but nothing major. But I have
still made it to Glastonbury. I think that's a bit further than, you know, like I'm currently in my dining room. That's about as far as I've went.
Yeah, it was fun. We ended up using VIP toilets one night, so that was good. Thank God for that.
Wow, so that VIP toilets, I wonder what that's like. Does that mean they're actually clean? Wow.
Actually, they don't just have a toilet that you just, you know. It's like in Canterbury, the normal toilets, it's the hole. I had eye masks covering here because, you know, we didn't have the pandemic, so I just figured out. You used your eye mask around there. It did the same thing.
Well, at least it wasn't like Victorian times where it's just in a bucket and they go, Gardy Lou!
You got to try that someday.
that's something that I can't exactly say I've not done, but that's another story for another day. And especially not such an illustrious company. So, what would you say would be your most memorable gig? We'll narrow it down.
Memorable gig, I like that. Oh, I just, you know, it's really hard to ask me that because I find that every time I perform, it's like I give it my all.
Mm-hmm.
And what would make it memorable? I think the people. I just had a busking slot now in because I work with Network Rail.
Mm-hmm.
I've just joined them and they're really lovely, and they've got two busking slots at the moment which are outside in Euston and King's Cross.
Wow.
And I would say the most memorable would have been today, like that. Mm-hmm. I can really feel and share with you, because there was a lovely man
mm-hmm.
that had already enjoyed the busker before. Then I came on and I was like, oh, is he going to stay for me? And I just thought, well, I'm just going to be me. And he was already looking forward. And I'm thinking, you don't even know what I sound like, but okay. So he listened. He really loved it to the point that he actually gave me a £20 note. And I was just so grateful, because that's quite unusual in itself.
Yeah.
He said, what I love about the way you sing is that you have compassion. And then I did ask him, I said, what's the difference between, because sometimes I say that people say that I sing with passion.
Mm.
And he said, with compassion, that you care, you know, you care for the actual song, for mm-hmm. the words that are in it. You transmit everything that's in the song. And I said, what, like an actor? Or I guess in that moment, you're being a bit of an actor, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And for me, that was like so heartwarming. Like, it wasn't even the £20. Had he just said that, even just as a compliment,
mm-hmm.
and I know that's kind of weird to say that, because obviously everyone likes a bit of money, but, I mean, when I go busking, you know, I can make £5, I can make 20 quid. It's like, it's always very, you know, you just never know what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But for him to say that, that really, like, warmed my heart, and I understood, like, why am I doing this? And what do people on the other side see me like, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally get it. But so,
talking about mental health as well, like, mm-hmm. just 2 days ago, I was right on a low. I was like, I don't know what came across me. I was just like, what am I doing? Like, I feel like swearing, but seriously, like, I've just given up my day job to do this silly dream. Like, I like to sing. Well, who doesn't like to sing? You know, like, I kind of like was battling with my thoughts going, well, who doesn't like to sing? Everyone likes to sing. So what makes me different? Nothing. Am I getting a stable, like, money pay at the end of the month? No. What am I doing then? What am I doing? This was going on, and I was, I would say this close, pretty close to starting to think, I just better get, like, another job to keep me on, you know, I don't know, or give this up. It was really crazy thoughts coming into my mind.
It's kind of what happens with mental health as well. Like, sometimes it does hit you just out of nowhere. How did you bring yourself back from it? What did you have any, like, specific strategies in your head, or was it just that did it just leave as quickly as it came?
I think what helped me was writing it down, writing what was going down, like, in my head, and then also somebody also like a day after was willing to collaborate with me, like, maybe to book me some gigs and things like that, and who believes in me. So I got a bit of hope, you know? The hope came back. It was like that little light hadn't gone off. The light was still there at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah.
Because this isn't easy, you know, being your own boss and, like, saying, yeah, people are going to love my music. Yeah, but where are the people? Like, and okay, that person said that to me, but how am I going to remember when I'm down? Should I be writing this? Like, I'm even thinking, like, what that guy said to me today, I should write it, put it on my board or something. And just when I'm feeling down, I'll just go, this is why I'm doing this. Because there are people that believe in me, believe like what I'm transmitting. It's not, it goes beyond me. It's not, I want to just become a vessel, you know, of goodness that I can share with people, and I think people need this more as well in our lives. You know, we need music.
Yeah, definitely. But it is something about music that it just seems to, it has a way of, like, going into your soul and just staying there. It can make you feel all sorts of emotions. Like, you can feel happy 1 minute thinking about it, and next you can feel completely miserable depending on the circumstances. It's very much like sense memory, isn't it? Music always takes you back to that point in time when you first heard it, or your first experience with it. Now, who would you say were some of the musicians that inspired you? Well, obviously aside from your father.
Yeah, so I've got such a jit. I don't know how to say it in English, but it's just a mixture of, like, because I also had my Portuguese influences. So
yeah,
we go to church on a Sunday, and after church there was a club and they played Brazilian music. So I was, like, influenced by Brazilian music, like Lambada was out at the time. Chiquitaca, I still play that one, and that was played then. So I love Brazilian music because of that. My influence is also going back to Portugal and being with the folk, like Portuguese folk. But I would say my influences here, as I was used to go in the car, drive, my dad used to drive us to North London. Me and my brother at the time, we were both learning. You know, like Mariah Carey.
Ooh, that's certainly an interesting one.
Whitney Houston. Madonna, you know.
The real divas of the industry.
Yeah, right? I just felt like, there's a hero. If you look inside your heart, you don't have to be afraid of what you are. That song gave me so much belief in myself. At least, and now that I'm even talking it with you, it's almost like the puzzle's fitting. Like, there's a hero. If you look inside yourself, you don't have to be afraid of what you are. I don't know, like everything is inside of us. I think Celine Dion, so I would look at like female singers, I guess.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I loved like Lionel Richie.
Can't be a bit of Lionel. It's so smooth. He's so smooth.
So smooth. Mm-hmm. And you know what I love about Lionel Richie as well is that it's almost like the smoothness. Yeah, he's not making it's effortless, right?
Mm-hmm. That's very much the same as I said about yourself. Like it's very like effortless, just the way that you kind of glide into it. Like especially even just doing that Mariah Carey there, it was just like there it is, man. This is how good I am. And I was like, that's why I shut my eyes. I just want to listen to you singing it. And it was just beautiful. Like even just a little snippet like that, it's just something so beautiful. So we're starting to come up on time, so I'll round off with a couple of questions. So what does the future hold for Talia? If you could picture your ideal scenario, what would you say is like going to be coming for you?
I picture for me, for Talia, that she will be on stages, hopefully with her original album, inspiring people to follow their dreams, be not all musicians, but you can still follow your dreams wherever you are. And I hope that I can be an inspiration to many people.
Have you brought out a solo album or is it in the works?
I just take this out now. I'm just going to show you. But
a week exclusive.
My first album was one. This is Excited. So this.
I love that cover. Wow, I love the colours. It's just so bright. It's like a wee vision into your soul as well. It's just so bright and colourful.
This is so sweet. Thank you so much. Yeah, so this was my first album. Came out in 2019. We had a really great launch at gallery, posh gallery here in London, and
that must have been absolutely amazing. Like seeing that you had like your debut albums out and. What you see and it's yourself that's on it and get to hear your own music back, that's a feeling money really can't buy, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And this is something that I need to be more like look at it more and go, I did this, like
exactly,
and all the people that were involved, we did it, we really did it. And there's another thing, the other great thing about this was that just before I was about I think 1 week in, we were nearly finishing this one, and the Portuguese like international like TV a Portuguese channel, Portugal, they got in touch with me because they knew I'm like Portuguese origin, and they said, we've heard a lot about you and would like to come into your house and film you and stuff. And they did a whole documentary
about
this album. Yeah. And I'm just like, that is so surreal. Like, it's amazing how sometimes when you work towards something, then things can come to you. That's how I feel.
Yeah. That's absolutely fantastic. Well, congratulations. Oh, that's brilliant. So tell my listeners where we can find you. I'll put links obviously in the description. But for anybody listening at home, where can we find the wonder that is Talia?
I think the best thing is to go to my website, which is www.taliamusic.uk. So it's taliamusic.uk. If you'd like to purchase my album that I've got, if you'd like to also, I don't know, there's a donate button that you can do PayPal and that will go towards my original music. You can fill in a contact form and it will go straight to my email box and then we can just be in communication.
And the final question that I ask all my guests is, if you could give one piece of advice to anybody who may be struggling with mental health issues, what would that piece of advice be and why?
I can only talk for myself, but from what happened the other day, I really found like writing things out, like what's going in your mind, can sometimes help you put things into perspective. And I would also, from what's happened today, when you get lovely compliments, don't just take them for granted. And when you feel that it's genuine, coming from someone that maybe you trust, you know, that you have an intuition, take that compliment and write it down and put it somewhere where you can see, in your room or something, or in your fridge, wherever. And when you're feeling down, just, you know, you don't even need to put it up. You could even have it in a little folder, but just go there, and then you can look at all the things that people have of good to say about you, and remember who you are.
If in doubt, write it out. I think that's a good tagline for your advice. If in doubt, write it out.
Yeah. No.
So now we come to the final part of the show, which is Ask Andrew Anything. Now, for any regular listeners of my show, first of all, my condolences. Second of all, this is where, after grilling our guest for 20 to 25 minutes, we let the guest ask myself a question, and I have to be 100% honest, no filters. Talia, do you have a question for me?
Oh, this is an interesting one. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm trying to see if I can have like a deep question. Like,
doesn't need to be deep. It can be something really ridiculous, like, what's your money in a fight with a horse or a shark? You never know. Yeah, it's a good day. Something so ridiculous, and I've just got to answer honestly.
No, I'm going to say, what's your passion?
My family. My wife and my two kids, my twin boys. The reason I do everything, the reason I get out of bed in the morning, the reason that I take another breath every day. If it wasn't for them, I wouldn't be on this world right now. And I know that for a fact. I wouldn't be here. They gave me the reason to fight. They gave me the reason to keep going and keep doing what I'm doing, and get back to doing things that I love to do, like talking to people like yourself, like fellow creatives, and get myself out of my bed and go to my 9-to-5 job so I can keep the roof over their heads and food in their tummies. I love them so much. I love them all so much. Alison's like my rock, which is, she's the best thing that ever happened to me. Without her, I wouldn't have Kieran and Connor, who are just little rays of sunshine. Don't get me wrong, they can be wee dicks, but they're my wee dicks. And I absolutely love them with all my heart and soul.
Thank you so much, Andrew, for answering that question. That was beautiful.
Well, Talia, it has been an absolute pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you so much. And I really do wish you well in everything that you do. And we'll be keeping an active eye because, you know, kind of stalkerish that way.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Until next time, my lovely viewers, she has been the beautiful and talented Talia. I have been me. But until next time, take care. Stay safe. Bye-bye.